Good afternoon. We are starting this press conference, which is about Gazprom's operations in the domestic market. This press conference traditionally is being attended by Kirill Seliznev, who is the head of the Gazprom department and the general director of Gazprom Mezhregion Gas. We will take 1 hour for this press conference, and we will begin with a brief presentation, and then we will have the Q&A. Kirill Gennadievich, please. Good afternoon, dear colleagues. I am happy to greet you at our traditional press conference. And I suggest that we should do as we have been doing over the past few years. I will share with you a brief information which describes the Gazprom supplies of gas into the Russian domestic market, as well as talk about the gasification issues, the issues of the regional receivables. And after that, I will be ready to answer your questions. Let's have the first slide, please. So in 2017 compared to 2016, in our supplies of gas to the domestic Russian market, there occurred a 7% growth, with the total amount of supplies, which you can see on this slide, was 229.9 billion cubic meters of gas. So respectively, 6.8% incremental growth of revenue from the sales, amounting to 875.7 billion rubles without VAT. In 2017, Gazprom reached the maximum allowable by the Russian government, the threshold of the gas sales through the exchange trading. And this slide demonstrates the structure of gas marketing through the St. Petersburg International Commodity Exchange. And you can see that compared to 2016, there was quite a significant growth in terms of the amount of gas sold by Gazprom, and a decline of gas sold by independent producers. Next slide, please. So the total amount of gas sold by Gazprom, by the Gazprom Mezhregion Gas Group, and as well as from other producers' resources, including the exchange trading in 2017, amounted to 250.6 billion cubic meters of gas. The consumption structure of gas is represented by this slide as well. Traditionally, about 30% within the consumption structure is taken up by electricity. And about 20%, which is 21%, is households. In 2017, in accordance with the increased amount of gas sold, the amount of gas transportation also grew through, amongst other things, the gasification program being implemented. We extended the length of the gas distribution network, and the respective statistics are demonstrated by this slide. In 2017, the facilities which were connected in 2016, a little bit over 1 billion cubic meters of gas was supplied. And as of today, considering the results of the work done in 2017 and based on the results of the technical scope of work issued, the prospective amount of the gas transportation increase was 12.6 billion cubic meters of gas. Now, a few words about the program for the gasification of the Russian regions and the way it is being implemented. The slide basically demonstrates the overall amount of information, with 29 almost and a half billion rubles being invested. You also see figures in terms of the quantity of construction of gas pipelines and extension, as well as the conditions set forth for the gasification of heating and boiler facilities. The level of gasification has slightly went up. We step by step are going towards the completion. It is currently 7.1%. Also, you can see respectively 71.4 and 59.7, which are the cities and the rural areas. Next slide, please. Traditionally, as you know, in terms of our gasification commitments, together with the regional authorities, we split in between the commitments that are taken by Gazprom, which is the connecting gas distribution networks and building that towards the perimeters of a township or a city, as well as the commitments of the authorities to synchronize and reconcile all of the assembly works in terms of the intra-rural gas pipelines connecting the heating and boiler facilities and all of the households. And this slide demonstrates information, and unfortunately there are 14 regions as of right now which are able to complete all of their commitments, but with quite a lagging behind, with 5 regions are not being able to do it at all, which is quite a saddening thing to us, because we connect the regions to the gas. We invest money into that, but we're not able to deliver our product to the end users and specifically to consumers. Next slide, please. Now, a few words about the receivables and arrears. Unfortunately, this is exactly the kind of an unhappy picture that we had last year. If you take a look, that the overall level of payments through 2017 was more than 97%. Nevertheless, the amount of debt or the arrears, non-payments, is quite huge, which doesn't make us feel optimistic. The worst situation in terms of the payments clearly comes from the North Caucasian Federal District. Amongst consumer categories, one can identify our basic problematic area, which is the heating supplies and households. Next slide, please. This slide shows 3 main issues related to the growing receivables, about overdue receivables. About 10% of the overdue receivables comes from 3 major consumers. And this overdue receivables, year in, year out, regrettably, as a situation, doesn't demonstrate any trend to improve. This is the Ministry of Defense structures. This is the Novokuznetsk City Central Heating supplier, which is about 2.9 billion rubles as of today, and the overdue receivables from the Tversk electricity generation, which is 3.8 billion rubles right now. So we continue doing work covering all of these 3 major gas consumers in terms of reducing or resolving this problem, but I will tell you more about it later on. Next slide, please. Like the case was during the previous years, the Gazprom Mezhregion Gas and Gazprom undertake measures to reduce these overdue receivables and to improve the payment discipline. An insignificant reduction of the overdue receivables from the heating supplies is demonstrated on this slide, and we've been able to considerably reduce these overdue payments from the electricity operators. We have signed various schedules with the regions about restructuring their overdue payments, but unfortunately, as of today, considering the results of 2017, the payment schedules have been met only 25%. And this particular chart demonstrates the regions with a respective level of the way they follow the overdue payment schedule. Next slide, please. We similarly continue to improve our work in the area of claims administration, relying upon the federal law number 307 and the government decree. And this particular slide demonstrates the information about the way this effort is progressing. So you can see that there's quite a number of claims that we have submitted, and so we do respective work to receive the respective judicial awards linked to the claims initiated. And so you can see the results that we are able to achieve with respect to the claims against the legal entities and individuals. It's 5.3 and 7.3 billion rubles in as far as the legal entities are concerned. The next slide, please. We, apart from the claims administration, have been applying various restrictive actions. And so you can see on the slide that in 2017 we have imposed restrictions towards quite a number of legal entities, and we do apply similar kind of measures to different categories of individuals and households. We also continue working in an area of claims administration. So more detailed information is demonstrated by this slide. Next one, please. Apart from claims administration, we cooperate with the law enforcement authorities, and this slide demonstrates information about the number of initiatives that we undertook in 2017 with respect to the overdue receivables and specific default parties, as well as various administrative procedures set forth. So if we take a look at it, we see that we've got more than 20,000 submissions lodged with the law enforcement. And as far as the North Caucasian Federal District is concerned, there are about 60-70% of those which are the claims that we opened in the North Caucasian Federal District. And so you can note a very low number of non-achieved resolutions and a lot of rejections that we demonstrate, which doesn't allow us to work towards improving the situation considerably. We do the same kind of work in the area of improving further the legislation so as to raise the level of discipline. And this slide demonstrates the governmental decrees and various legal acts which have already been brought into force, and whereby we work with the government authorities in order to further improve all of our efforts in this area. Next slide, please. It is the same information. You can take your time familiarizing with what it says. And so hopefully in the bottom part of the slide, you see the Ministry of Energy Decree number 975, which states that one should put together methodological guidelines to minimize damage from non-payment and mechanical damage towards the gas distribution network. So we currently work together with the Ministry of Energy to adopt respective guidelines and recommendations. So this is it. And as far as my presentation is concerned, I'm ready now to answer your questions. Dear colleagues, we're starting the Q&A. Let us begin from the regional topics. Over there, in the last row, please. Maxim Strugov, Kommersant Prikamye newspaper. I've got a question about our specific region. What is the potential for gasifying our area in 2019? Another question is that I believe that our region was one of the first ones which launched the program of autonomous gasification. Does Gazprom see any possibility to develop it further in the foreseeable future? I've got another question which doesn't concern gasification in Perm region. There is Gazprom heating energy division. Does the structure intend to strengthen its presence in our region at all? Thank you for your question. As part of the Russian Federation Regional Gasification Program, the gasification of the Perm region has 575 million rubles of investments. We are currently constructing 10 gasification facilities, and we're starting putting together a design work for the three LNG facilities as part of the autonomous gasification. And that is about your second sub-question. As you may know, already in 2015, the autonomous gasification facilities have been completed. But as of today, the loading of these facilities is just about 16%. So there is a bit of drawback in terms of the regional preparation of the consumers to start receiving gas. And so in this particular case, we do maintain close interaction with the regional authorities in order to change this around. I would also like to mention that from Perm region, there are about 10% increase in the overdue receivables, which is about 390 million rubles, which is as of May 1st was 4 309 million rubles. So quite clearly, with such a level of overdue payment, it is difficult to continue talking about increasing gasification effort. So, in as far as the heating supplies is concerned, this is the topic that we have discussed with the regional governor, and the governor also contacted us on more than one occasion. We are still going through a discussion because the positions are very different, because the level of tariff currently existing doesn't make it possible to perform all the necessary work in order to achieve a certain economic viability. So either the local budget has to extend subsidies, and in case that is granted and certain warranties are extended, then like the case in the number of other regions, we shall continue this effort. But I would like to draw attention to the fact that more than 4 billion rubles of overdue payment for the gas already supplied. So if, as long as this particular issue is not resolved, it won't be possible to continue considering increasing gasification into autonomous gasification, into heating or electricity production. Thank you. Next question, please. Yar Novosti from Yaroslavl. To the extent I know, the Yaroslavl region is facing quite critical situation in terms of the overdue payment. A year ago, the new leadership of the region also reached with Gazprom an agreement to restart programs, and a schedule of payment was also put together. Based on what we know, at this point in time, the overdue payment is growing. Could you please comment on it? And specifically, is there a possibility of these programs being put on hold? I mean, Gazprom to children and gasification program because of the growing overdue payment. Well, yes, indeed, you know, we made an attempt to start everything from scratch with the authorities of the Yaroslavl region. And for the first time during the past 5 years, which we believe is a very positive development, with the arrival of the new government, we have signed the restructuring schedule for our overdue payment for the next 5 years. And we do note a very good dynamics, and the fact that the government started undertaking a number of measures to provide for continuous payment with the consumers. And thanks to the agreements we reached in 2017, we restarted the gasification work and also restarted the Gazprom to the children program. But this, you know, is a bit of an advance payment, so to say, into our relationship with the Yaroslavl region. And so in terms of the acuteness of this issue, it is still there, because we are registering the growing overdue payments, specifically from the heating supplies. You can say that it is more than 300 million rubles in terms of incremental growth, which is far from conforming to the agreements and the schedules which we had previously agreed and signed with the regions, that we have agreed with the regional government. For your reference, I may say that the overall overdue payment from all of the categories of consumers from the Yaroslavl region as of May 1st is more than 3 billion rubles. So this is quite a significant amount, because traditionally in the month of August, we review preliminarily the work we do in our gasification program and the work we do to reduce the overdue payment. And after that, we introduce various adjustments. So if by August the Yaroslavl region doesn't improve, we will have to apply stricter measures to it. Let's do it by order of general appearance. Could you please pass the microphone over to the left? Thank you. Yulia Moiseva from Smolensk. As opposed to our colleagues, we've got slightly different situation in as far as the cooperation with Gazprom in gasification and in different programs. The situation has been made clear at a week which took place a week ago between our governor and Alexei Miller. But there's a different problem that I would like to understand about the way it could be resolved, because currently there's an understanding that the region is nearing the maximum threshold in terms of the hydropower supplies, which prevents the positive dynamics in terms of the gasification program development. So my question to you, as the head of the Mezregion Gas, is there any possibility to upgrade the currently existing gas distribution networks? Yes, we know about the situation, but your question is not the right answer, because these gas distribution stations are owned by Gazprom, and so So the question of modernizing them, you have to direct to the senior executives of the respective divisions, like the transportation department people. I don't know whether there has been a separate conference with them. And as far as the Gazprom distribution, Smolensk, we are aware of this problem. We see that consumers are limited in their capacities. If my memory serves me right, you've got a Phoenix industrial park, and we gave them the technical scope for the connection of this industrial park to gas supplies. And together with this industrial park, we have produced the engineering design connection. And we had to stop it because the load that the gas distribution network is currently having is quite huge. And all the volume of gas in order to deliver to the consumers that is planned for this particular park is something that we find not technically possible so far. So the work is currently being done, but you will be able to get a more professional and detailed answer to your question from the transportation department people. Well, I believe that we'll be able to further specify this information and then share it with you as a feedback. But the meeting between the chairman of the management board of Gazprom and the government indeed took place. These issues were raised, and they will be consistently resolved. We, as Mezhregorod Gas, because this work is ongoing, we have already undertaken specific measures to issue a scope of work to produce the design documentation for the connection of this particular industrial park. So we'll continue working on it. Thank you, St. Petersburg. Thank you very much, NTV St. Petersburg TV channel. You were named the best payers, the worst payers, but I couldn't find St. Petersburg in neither of these categories. Could you please explain, you know, how are we doing? And if there are any difficult you know, points, could you please describe them as well? So in terms of payment for gas, we don't have any issues with St. Petersburg because the city has been performing on all of its commitments, and its payment discipline can be described as a not even a satisfactory, but as a good one. Although there is a bit of a problematic issue, and the question was raised to Denis Fyodorov, who's the head of Gazprom Energo Holding. He mentioned a few words about it. Let me repeat, there's a big overdue payment for the delivered heating, which was produced by the TGK1 collector stations. So this is a bit of a problem in our cooperation with the city. Is there? There's quite a big overdue payment. And during the recent times, I must note that the city has done a lot of necessary work to reduce this arrears, but there is a lot of work still to be done. All right, thank you. Could you please speak into the microphone? Omsk. The Komsomolskaya Pravda newspaper. Kirill Gennadievich, could you please comment on Gazprom Mezhregorod Gas Company participation in developing the legislation which regulates the commissioning into operation of the heating supply facilities which are owned municipally or by the government or the local authorities? Because in a number of the municipal districts in the Omsk region, there is quite a concern because of the unwillingness of the economic operators and the local authorities to adhere to the current legislation, and as a result, various schemes are being adhered to strip the respective projects from funding, and leads to an impossibility of collecting payment, whereby, you know, without payment, respective volumes of gas are being delivered, and no criminal responsibility is being defined, and no criteria of financial guarantees are being made available for concession agreements, and so one can definitely see that there's neither no profit being made and no technical level is being maintained without respective control. The state of the boiler facilities is worsening. The Omsk administration has submitted its local parliament a specific query, and I believe that this is a problem that you see in other regions as well. So what is your comment on it? I fully share your concern, because the situation is not only something that is characterized of the Omsk region, but we see it in other regions as well, whereby by assigning proxy from one hand into other, the law non-abiding let's see, is just abuse this. You know, the federal law number 307 was passed into effect in 2017, which defines the possibility of leasing property of which is not older than 5 years, but anything that is beyond that on the basis of the concession agreement. But as you know, we've been given the ruling by the Supreme Court in 2017, I think it was towards the end of July, and so the Supreme Court, through this definition, it appealed against this particular legal act being brought into effect. We disagree with it. We continue to do additional work. We know that the Minister of Construction have put together a draft federal law which introduces a number of prohibitive measures for the government and municipal authorities with respect to leasing property out. If it is brought into effect, there won't be any need to be guided by the ruling of the Supreme Court. And so we will then be able to believe that the legislation would be working in favor of law-abiding consumers and gas suppliers. Next question, please. Another question. Thank you very much for your answer. Will Gazprom Mezregion Gas participate in aligning the tariffs of the heat suppliers with the actual situation? Because in the almost because of the imperfections of this particular policy, the amount of revenue that the heat suppliers fall short over the 390 million rubles, which generates the overdue payments to the resource supply. So, what's the total situation that Mezregion Gas is seeing in other regions? Well, we're similar. Share your concern on this point, but fortunately or unfortunately, we are not the kind of a body which is responsible for the tariff policy. It's the Federal Anti-Monopoly Service is responsible for it. So there is a bit of a discrepancy and distortions that we see in different tariff resolutions. But with respect to a number of the heat supplies and Gazprom respective practice, if the heat supplier disagrees with a certain tariff decision, it can go to court, and the court will consider all of the necessary arguments and will pass the kind of an award which will have to be complied with. I'm not going to quote specific examples to you, but these are the situations that we've faced in the past, and we know what work we need to do. But in order to protect a tariff, you need to take a look at the possibility of optimizing the situation related to cutting costs on the side of the heat suppliers themselves. So you have to take a look at what are the standard expenses, because it's not for me to tell you about the situation that the majority of the heat suppliers find themselves in with respect to the equipment that they operate. So there is work to be done, and there is modernization can be done. So in response to a question, I can say that yes, we are concerned, but this is not within our authority. The Day of the Republic, from Karachaево-Черкесска. Kirill Gennadievich, our republic is a participant of the gasification program and has been so since 2008, but at the same time, our region is amongst the outsiders in terms of the performing on its commitments within the program. Could you please tell us what is your assessment of the economic and social future about the gas pipeline in the Uchkulans Gorge, which is about to start very soon? I'm not going to be telling you any new, because Meshkulan Gorge is where we indeed are planning to build a gas supplies facility. I think it's about 50 kilometers, quite an extensive length of it, in some difficult conditions. There are about five or six settlements that this particular gas supplies project is going to cover. But you described it quite correctly, that there is quite an overdue payment on the part of the Republic, and the Republic is also lagging behind preparing the consumers, as well as a quite sizable overdue payment for the already supplied gas. So like I said, in August, we're going to review the results of the 6 months of the gasification program. We will take a scrutinous look at the overdue payment, and then we'll be making up our decisions. And that goes for all of the republics. An existence of overdue payment is a stop mark for the gasification program, for the program Gazprom to Children, for the gas motor fuels program. And this is not only something that is eschewed by the Gazprom measure to go on gas. That is the policy of the Gazprom company as well. And so we will pursue towards the very end. Kursk weekly newspaper. In the Kursk region, during the past several years, the problem of non-payment of the heating supplies, representing the Minister of Defense, remains unresolved. Are there any developments in being able to resolve this problem in terms of the federal budget resources as well as the Ministry of Defense itself? Unfortunately, the Kursk region is not the only one where various defense structures have a lot of overdue payment. And this information was shown on some of the slides saying that the overall overdue payment, both for gas and heating, if we are to talk about our electricity entities, runs up to almost 12 billion rubles, out of which there are about 7 billion for gas and a little bit more than 4 billion for heat. So far we've been hearing from the Minister of Defense that they are having meetings about it. You know, our chairman of the board, Mr. Dmitry Zubkov, is actively engaged in everything related to these overdue payments, and he held multiple meetings with the participation of the Minister of Defense representative. So far it is unresolved, so we do the work we can, and I am not in a position to tell you when it will be resolved. Ultimately, I'm looking at the information about the Kursk region. There are about 42 million rubles, which is not a huge amount, but nevertheless it is there. But if you talk about the whole country, I quoted to you the figures, and they are very huge. Thank you. In the last row, please. Interfax Suburban Moscow Agency. My question is about the Moscow suburb region. What is the situation with the payment for gas on the part of the Moscow area? Because, as is known, by the end of the heating season, various restrictions were put in place in terms of the gas supplies to those who are consistently are not paying. So what is the attitude of the Moscow government, and what do you intend to do about it? The Moscow region is not a straightforward entity, because as of May 1st, 2018, the overdue payment ran up to more than 14 billion rubles, almost 15 billion rubles, which is by 670 million more than the figure was last year. We are having meetings with the governor. We held a number of meetings with the Moscow regional government. But one should note that these problems of overdue payment for gas on the part of the Moscow regions, it came to be not today, not yesterday. This is the problem which has been accumulated over the years. And together with the Moscow regional government, we are currently trying to find a resolution to this. We are quite confident, and the Moscow regional government confirms that as of the start of the heating season, next one, this overdue payment level is going to be considerably reduced. The governor gave us his word. So we work in as far as the concession agreements with the Moscow regional governments are concerned, the Pushkin district, the Serpukhov district, and all of the necessary indicators already have been written in. So we are currently working on the technical side of things in order to sign respective concession agreements. So we know where we should go. We are very well aware of how we are going to reduce this overdue payment. But yet again, I would like to say that it's a difficult situation, because the non-payment is quite huge in terms of the amounts. But we are introducing such restrictions throughout the whole Russia with respect to those who are not paying for gas. So hopefully I've answered your question. In the last row as well, please. Svetlana Kurevina.
Orlov region. So my questions come from the Orlov Pravda newspaper. My question is about the establishment of the management companies. The first similar agreement was signed in 2014. According to this agreement, Gazprom Mezhregion Gas Companies started performing functions of a management company of the joint stock company Gazprom Gas Distribution. Many regions followed suit because we are already familiar with the experience of Gazprom Mezhregion Gas North. Last year, the Smolensk region followed this path. And in April this year, a similar agreement was signed in Oryol. We also have now a management company, Kirilgenerazh. So my question is this: what is your personal attitude towards this whole idea? Because the whole project of setting up management companies, has it justified itself in any way? And what are the plans that Gazprom Mezhregion Gas is having? Will it continue setting up management companies in all of the regions, or at this stage it would limit itself by running various, you know, pilot projects specifically done in specific regions? So what is the future of this whole endeavor? Thank you very much.
Well, you know, I wouldn't describe this as a project or something of a novelty, because the whole issue of changing the form of management process is being passed according to how the gas supply structures are changing, as well as the positions of the gas distribution organization. Whatever we see economic effect in the first place related to the ability to reduce the administrative and management costs, that's where we do it. So in the cases where we see that the balance of gas supply structure or the financial status of a company doesn't call for us switching to this management model, we stay away from it. So it's the ongoing work to optimize operations and to reduce the costs, and nothing more than that.
Other questions, please? Over on the left side, please.
Alexei Kirichenko, Kommersant, in St. Petersburg. My question is about the St. Petersburg region. How much Gazprom has invested into the gasification program, regional gasification here, how much more it intends to invest, and when your investments are going to be paid back, and the non-payment, is there any non-payment of the consumers in the St. Petersburg region that might deter further implementation of the gasification program in the region?
Well, as of 2003, the Leningrad region participates in the gasification program at the expense of the Gazprom funding. The amount of investments since 2003 till 2017 has been a little bit more than 7.5 billion rubles. By 2018, we have allocated 1.1 billion rubles with respect to 2019. It is premature to say anything. The St. Petersburg or Leningradsky region is in the category of the regions which principally we do not identify as debtors, but nevertheless the non-payment as of May 1st is 648 million rubles. So I can tell you something that I previously already mentioned: in case this level of debt is not reduced by August, we will reconsider our plans for the gasification of the Leningradsky region. In the meantime, we will simply state that we work all right, so in a very constructive way. The amount of money allocated was quite substantial, so hopefully the region will catch up and we will continue at the same pace.
You have an additional question?
Yes. Also about the payback, what is the period of time that you have?
Well, the Gazprom Board of Directors has generally defined the payback indicators for all of the investment projects, which is about 7 years. But the gasification program has this additional social component in it. So in terms of the investments into the gasification of the Leningradsky region, is something that I'm not able to give you a very precise figure. Like, say, if you would ask me about connecting some major consumer, it would definitely be several years. If it's a township or a
settlement, not densely populated, where you don't have any major consumer, industrial consumer. This gasification would run according to the social nature and will be more extended in time. So overall, it wouldn't be correct on my part to try and give you an answer. But with respect to a specific project, to a specific gasification facility, if you have a question about it, please relate it to us and we will get back to you. Second row, please.
Good afternoon, Elena Kopitova. My question is from Ivanovo Information Portal. In the Ivanovo region, there are several districts which remain ungasified, and the federal channels several times were drawing attention to the gasification of the Luki region and the district. So what is the future and the possibility of the gasification of these districts, and at which level, you know, this gasification of our region will be considered as plausible by Gazprom?
I will answer from the end. We didn't set ourselves any specific level of gasification of the Ivanovo region or any other region. Everywhere there has to be a certain economic viability. As I mentioned about the Leningradsky region, very often there is a certain social aspect involved. So we're going to be looking in the first place at this particular angle. Our level since 2005, I'm looking at the information sheet from Ivanovo region, it grew by 2.5%, which is the general level of gasification, and as of right now, it is 75.8% of general gasification, while throughout the Russia it's 68.1. So Ivanovo region, one should construe, is not being sacrificed at all. With respect to the Luksky district, there is indeed a problem, because there is a need to build a side bypass gas pipeline as well as the inter-rural township gas pipeline. The design work is currently underway, and we are planning in 2019 to start construction. Along with that, we will have to build the gas distribution network, and together with the regional authorities to come up with a reconciliation schedule, because based on the information I have, is about 5 boiler facilities and more than 100 households which will have to be connected, more than 150. Well, yes, we will start construction in 2019, given the fact that Ivanovo as a region will be demonstrating positive dynamics in reducing its overdue payments.
Maria Moravtseva, RBK. Kirill Gennadievich, the mass media came out with the information that the supplies of gas to China will commence in 2019. Last year, you mentioned contracts which you entered into with a number of domestic consumers, including the gas chemicals facilities, which is in Nakhodka fertilizer producers, and ECN Group in the Amur region. During which year, you know, you intend under the above mentioned contract to start delivering gas to the domestic consumers?
Well, I can confirm the same thing with respect to the supplies of gas to China. This is not exactly my bailiwick, because you should communicate on that with the Gazprom export representatives. And indeed, we so far have had only preliminary agreements with a number of consumers. This is the methanol plant in Skovorodino. This is the Shimanovsky chemicals plant. We also have preliminary agreement with some potential chemical industrial consumers in the Sakhar Republic, as well as various mining enrichment plants. We have adopted the program of the development of gasification in Yakutia Republic until 2025. It includes the gasification for such townships as Tamil, Toldan, and others. And within the period of until 2025, in accordance with this gasification and gas supply arrangement, we believe that the gas consumption amount could reach up to 4.4 billion cubic meters.
Kirill Gennadievich,
A question from GTRK Vologda TV channel. In Vologda region, there are 15 districts out of 26 have been gasified. In March, there was a meeting between Alexei Mili and Alexei Kushinikov, our governor. And at that meeting, they spoke about continuing gasifying our region. So my question is, how is the regional gasification program is coming along in our territory? When the people living in our region should look forward to see new connections? At that meeting, there was also a conversation about a bypass gas pipeline towards Vitegrad-Filipin-Bor in Belozersk, which are the main tourism destination. The funding for that project is more than 22 billion rubles. So how this project is currently coming along? Well, I suppose that let me begin with the gasification program. For this year, we have 343 billion rubles allocated. This is the construction of 11 and the design work done for 7 gasification facilities in the 13 municipal district in the Vologda region. I would also like to tell you that, as we have been informed, that as of the beginning of the year, the overdue payment grew by almost 9%. And so this receivable, overdue receivables, is currently a little bit more than 1 billion rubles. So again, coming back to what I previously said, in case nothing will happen. So with respect to your specific question, indeed, the bypass gas pipeline, quite capital intensive, about 22 billion rubles within the current year, as far as I know. Gazprom is planning to go about starting the gas assembly, construction assembly work with respect to the two gas distribution networks, which are part of the overall effort. The design work is underway, and so all of the work is planned to be completed by 2021. In case. Natalia Nikolaeva from Ulyanovsk region. My question comes from the Molodezhny newspaper, youth newspaper. The Ulyanovsk region already had the sad experience of having been excluded from the gasification program. But despite that, the situation with overdue payment continues to worsen. Through the first quarter only, this debt grew by 770 million almost. What are the measures that Gazprom measured your own gas may apply to the Ulyanovsk region? And is there any danger that the region will again be excluded from the gasification program? Well, you know the situation better than I do, and you yourself were able to answer the question you raised, because currently the debt is 1,745,000,000 rubles by the beginning of the year. It demonstrated considerable growth, and primarily, you are quite right, that is related to the heating supplies. And so in August, if there is no improvement, then Ulyanovsk region will be put on hold, because we have the schedule of restructuring overdue payment from the heat supplies. We've signed an agreement with the regional authorities, and so the regional budget commits itself to close this debt. But you noted that we're behind, collecting debt which accumulated during the previous year. So by the beginning of this year, there's a new debt coming up. So in August, we're going to undertake measures. Your question, please. Volga Commune newspaper from the city of Samara. You described a considerable growth of the exchange gas trading. Could you please tell us how are you planning to develop it further? And do you intend to set up regional exchange trading platforms? Well, you know, there are certain to say that we're not intending to set up any platforms, exchange trading platforms. We're quite content with what we're currently having. We run our trading activities within the currently existing legislation. 17.5 billion cubic meters of gas was sold through 2017 through an exchange trading, and we intend to achieve the same kind of statistics in 2018. In case a decision is made which would enable us to raise the amount of offering through the trading
opportunities at an exchange. These are the volumes that we're going to offer and sell. But on my part, I can tell you that the work we do with St. Petersburg International Commodity Exchange is something that we find completely satisfactory, and we don't see any need to establish any other trading facilities. But if this particular instruments by the central bank or by the Federal Anti-Monopoly Service may come up with certain ideas, we will consider them, and we'll be more than happy to work to do this work regionally as well.
Alexei Polukhin, Horizontal Russia, from the city of Tver. My question is about Skoda Generation, because it is part of the debtors that you've listed, the three of them. But this company is loss maker because of the redundancy of its network facilities, and that becomes the Gazprom problem. The claim work is not bringing any results, because even based on the court injunctions, it doesn't generate any effect, and Gazprom cannot limit the supplies of gas because there is a judicial order. So what kind of measures the Gazprom measure on gas may undertake in order to improve it? Does the company itself intend to enter into the heating business? Is there any possibility to bring a class act against the authorities of the regions, which, as we hear, own the Tversk electricity generator and heating generator company? I understand your question. I didn't look into the depths because I personally don't know who owns the Tversk generation. I'm sure that the respective authorities may be in a position to give you a better answer. But I slightly disagree with what you're saying, that the problem of Tversk generation is just Gazprom's problem to resolve. Yes, there is quite a huge debt, and we are very actively involved in collection efforts. There's not enough money to really cover the whole of the overdue payments, but nevertheless, this work is ongoing. We receive payments, unfortunately not in full, but in as far as participating or not participating in the first generation during the economic forum, there was a very substantive conversation with the original governor about the debt and the company. Now, what were the commitments that the region took upon itself? It promised to send us the schedule for restructuring all of the non-paid funds. It hasn't been done yet, but the forum also happened not so long ago. So the region continues to consolidate the electricity and heating assets, and once they are consolidated into a single entity, the region will come up with a proposition to consider the possibility to participate in its operation. And unless we're able to take a look at the number of assets, at the conditions, at the level of the tariffs, and at the level of the subsidies that the region will be able to allocate to tell you whether we will go or we won't go into this process, I would say is premature. But this is something that we do not rule out completely.
Good afternoon, Kirill Gennadievich. A question from the first Penza information portal. Towards the end of the past year, the members of the parliament of the both committees, the Security and Anti-Corruption and the Energy Committees, together with their counterpart from the Emergency Ministry, discussed the problem of using the in-house gas equipment, and all of the participants of this conference agreed that the problem started when no government regulation was effective, because in 1997 the household gas equipment was excluded from the hazardous equipment, and then the new housing code enabled the management companies to approach servicing such equipment at their own discretion, which resulted in non-professionals doing this work. During that meeting, a proposal was voiced to bring back under the government authorities the house equipment, gas equipment, and the gas tanks. And so I would like to learn, what do you think about it?
Well, you know, government regulation in the area of operating the in-house gas equipment, in my mind, is a necessary measure. Secondly, we believe that it should be done based upon the currently existing market conditions, because the market here has been liberalized, so you must bear this in mind as well. But unfortunately, one has to state that the order by which various vendors are being allowed to provide such services to consumers is very strongly simplified, and I would say is a very formal process, and in many cases is just a notification process, which produces negative effect both upon the quality of services thus provided, and secondly, in view of the fact that there is no quality maintained, this may lead to some serious ramifications. So we do believe that the currently existing law does not enable to undertake measures to guarantee full safety of such a gas equipment being used. We have put together a list of basic problems, which we've forwarded to the Minister of Construction and the Minister of Energy, with the hope that in some short period of time there will be new pieces of act brought into effect, which would impose stricter regulations upon the vendors which provide such services, and which may help us to get rid of unqualified vendors, to make it a systemic work and bring this whole market into a civilized order of operation. Anton Klishenko from Interfax Agency. The Center for Strategic Development prepared a purpose-specific model for the Russian gas market. And could you tell us, do you know anything about the task or the objectives for this particular survey? And do the people who are in the survey coordinated the work they are doing with you?
No. We are not at all aware of this work, and consequently nobody has contacted us or coordinated with us. In 2017, we received a survey from the Russian Academy of National Economy and Government Service, because that was the institution which we commissioned to do a certain survey titled The Basic Stage of the Development of the Gas Market in Russia, since we are concerned with this whole issue that we are very deeply involved in, but this is the work that Gazprom commissioned, I mean, which the Russian Academy of National Economy and Government Service did, but in terms of anybody else doing any survey like that, it's difficult for me to comment.
Thank you very much. So let's now switch over to Moscow, because we have correspondents also waiting to raise their questions. Yes, please, go ahead.
Good afternoon. It would be good to find out about certain details about the supplies of gas to the Far Eastern regions. So what's the situation with the supplies of gas to Primorsk region, where not everybody is able to get connected to the Sakhalin-Khabarovsk-Vladivostok gas pipelines? And is it possible to expand, to expedite the expansion of this gas pipeline, which is intended for 2021?
Well, with respect to the Primorsk region, the amount of consumption there is 1 billion cubic meters of gas. Without doubt, the current Sakhalin-Khabarovsk-Vladivostok gas pipeline capacity represents a bit of a deterring factor. By 2025, we expect that the volume of consumption will be about 9 billion cubic meters of gas. We've got major consumers there, which is the Nakhodka fertilizer factory, as well as the Zvezda shipyard, Spassk cement producers, and other consumers. So expanding this gas pipeline is currently underway. Now, whether it's possible to, expedited, and what will be the time frame, you will be able to hear better from the Transportation Department representatives. As part of the gasification program, we have built gas pipelines to supply gas to the ship
building plant Zvezda at the township of Bolshoy Kamen, the big stone. So the second stage now is the Nakhodka port and the Vorongeh township, where we finished doing surveying work. And so the start of the assembly and installations is planned for the start of 2019. Thank you. Next question, please.
Evgenia Sokolova, TASS Agency. Finally, I got my turn to ask a question. I would like to ask you, could you possibly give us your plans about the marketing of gas in the domestic market for 2018, and what will be the profitability of this particular work in the domestic market this year?
Profitability is not exactly to me. You will get an opportunity to ask this question to the stream representatives, which are responsible for economics. The volume for 2018, we expect to be at 222 billion cubic meters of gas, which takes into account the months, actual months of supply so far. So this is our expected value. Any more questions, please?
Ludmila Podobedova, RBK. Could you please, basically I've got two questions. Let's begin with the first one. Quite clearly, that the overdue payments from many regions has been growing. The North Caucasus, as has always been the case, is in the lead. Is there any plan? Which region specifically? And who specifically will be doomed to get disconnected because of non-payment? Particularly, I'm talking about the heating supplies. And how one then can protect and safeguard the individual consumers? Because we remember over the past few years that there's always a negative response to such disconnections, and people go to court. So this is my first question. And the second question, in the course of such claims, where, in which cases Gazprom was able to uphold its grounds, and where it had to pay compensations, in terms of where it was able to uphold its position and where it lost its current work in accordance with the legislation. We have various reglements and rules following which we do our disconnections, because for a certain period of time in advance we need to notify consumer. There are also cases where we're not able to come to a specific disconnection or restriction, where we are given municipal warranties, or together with the government we're able to resolve the issue of debt restructuring. If we act within the legislation, we limit a consumer. Now, in terms of being able to protect the social consumers, it is difficult for me to say, as long as they pay for gas, nobody will have to be protected, I suppose. So, in as far as our commitments are concerned, we stay true to them. We make sure that the gas is supplied and consumers respectfully have to pay for such a service. Well, it's difficult for me to add anything to it.
Thank you.
And then may I ask you a specific question about the Dagestan Republic? Because the Dagestan Republic says that they've got a very low tariff for heat supplies, and as a result, they are out of balance in terms of their payments, and they're not paying. And one of the top managers of the heat supplying vendors said that they are having negotiations at the level of the regional government so as to just refuse taking Gazprom's gas anymore and start getting the gas from the independent producers, and specifically it was Rosneft. Do you know anything about it? Have they notified you about it, or is it some sort of a compromise?
What kind of a compromise there can be? Because first they have to repay all of the money that they owe to us, and after that they can switch over to, Rosneft's gas or anybody else's gas. But in terms of insufficiency of the tariff coverage, like I mentioned previously, this is part of the responsibility of the regional authorities. It is the responsibility of the local regulator as well as the heat supplying vendor itself. If all of them they believe that the tariff is unjustifiably low, they can file suit to court, and simply, through such a physical intervention, get the kind of a tariff which in reality exists right now.
All right. Are there any more questions from Moscow?
No question then. Let's go back to St. Petersburg audience. Yes, please go ahead.
Kirill Gennadievich, good afternoon. Olga Protasova, Mariel Republic. I've got a question about the gasification of our region. We've got quite a high level of gasification today, about 89%. And I'm interested about finding out whether this work is going to continue, particularly looking at the gasification plan for the Republic. There is a wide sort of there's a gap, which is Kiryvyse district, where there is no natural gas at all, which negatively influences the possibility of this particular local district developing. The local dwellers have been trying to contact different government authorities for many years, but they were not able to get any answers. Are they going to have natural gas? And if positive, when? It's a difficult question because the level of gasification in Mariel Republic is indeed quite high. It is about 88 some percentage points. At this point in time, any further gasification of the region is impossible because of the remoteness of it from the currently existing trunk gas pipelines, and so there's a need to build a new trunk gas pipeline, which will have to pass through, let's say, actually the territories of three regions, Mariel, Nizhny Novgorod, and Kirov. And it will be difficult to say, as soon as we understand all everything involved into the construction of this big trunk pipeline, because these are Gazprom's operational divisions are responsible for it. And once it is done, we, as Gazprom Region Gas, will also step into this whole work so that the gas distribution networks from the trunk pipeline are reaching out to all of the townships. So this issue hasn't yet been resolved, and I can only recommend for the regional authorities to raise this issue to the attention of the chairman of the board. Kirill Gennadievich, business news from Khmer Republic News Agency. Now, taking into account the regional budget deficits, is it possible to reconsider the problem of gasification? Can Gazprom take on the kind of commitments that the regional authorities are being responsible for, meaning to say that the gas networks should be, you know, taken all the way to consumer? You can reconsider everything, but we are not planning to reconsider everything, because we have very clearly made up our minds before going into the river, so to say, and we have you know, aligned the areas of responsibilities which concern the regional responsibility as well as Gazprom's responsibility. So the construction of the inter-township pipelines as well as the gas distribution network, because we'll have to install the various staffs, and we've got the gas distribution network, and any consumer may apply to receive its services, and as we were told, these services will be provided with good quality within the minimum period of time and at the most affordable prices. Thank you. Your question? Good afternoon, Olga Shamova from Orenburg. Currently, the Russian regions are undergoing various activities to raise the attraction, investment attraction of the regions, and the gas distribution companies is trying to work and optimize the connection that the consumers may get to the gas distribution networks. So what is the current status of this project?
Well, we are continuing to pursue this work. It will be difficult for me to quote to you statistical results, but we definitely note that we have considerably reduced the amount of time necessary to connect gas to a specific consumer, whereas we work based on the principle of a single window. We issue technical assignments and you know, connecting to electricity mains and look at different ways the payment can be done for such a situation. And that all reduces the time frame, it reduces the amount of effort that need to be put, and makes this whole process of connecting consumer in a very transparent way. So these are our successes. We work for you, for our consumers, in order to turn this whole process into a simpler, more affordable process with better quality.
Alexander Yakulova, Astrakhan region. If I may, I would like to ask you this question. the Gazprom measured on gas and various regional gas companies already working within the one-stop window pilot project. So it would be great to find out how currently it is going on and whether if it is going to be deployed in the regions. Well, as I said, in other regions, in the Astrakhan region, we do plan to introduce this process, and single window is a very interesting mechanism for consumers, whereby they can relate to a single place of service where they can get all the necessary documentation, scope of work, sign the connection agreement, and respectively, you know, accept the work done. We will do the same kind of work in the Astrakhan region, in some of the gas distribution organizations, which purely based on the technical things related to the organizational domestic structure, they're not very well ready. So certain, you know, internal activities will need to be pursued in order for this whole mechanism to start working faster and better. So, like with the case of other regions, this is the principle that we're going to follow. In the Astrakhan region, everything is going to be done faster, on time, and with better quality. Thank you. Will there be any more questions, please? We've got several questions from the internet, Reuters and Argus Media. They're asking, you know, who and how much Gazprom bought gas in 2017 from the independent producers, and what are the plans and to buy gas from independent producers, and from which specific independent producers Gazprom is planning to buy gas in 2018. Let me try and answer this question. In 2017, from the independence, 29,425,000,000 cubic meters of gas was bought. Our plans for 2018, 22,405,000,000 cubic meters of gas. Thank you very much. Will there be any more questions? Well, this press conference is adjourned. Thank you. Thank you.